Joining us now is someone who's been watching very closely the situation in Mali. Asuman Maiga was born and raised in northern Mali in the city of Timbuktu. He's now a PhD student at Oklahoma State University. He joins us from his home right here in the U.S. Asuman Maiga, first of all, welcome to the program.
Hi.
What are you most concerned about right now as you watch the developments, see the headlines coming out of both France and North Africa?
Mostly, I'm concerned about the humanitarian situation because this is going to impact a large number of civilians who are in Timbuktu, Gao, and Kidal, and also those who are displaced in the country, meaning in southern areas like Ségou, Mopti, Bamako. And also, we have about 500,000 people who are displaced in the country and in the bordering countries like Niger, Senegal, and Burkina Faso. So these countries are mostly also very poor, and they cannot really help the people there.
Speaking with Asuman Maiga from Mali, who's a student here in the United States in Stillwater, Oklahoma, where takeaway listeners have been following the situation in Mali. We just spoke with a Columbia University professor from Paris, Professor Mann. Describe, from your perspective, the situation where there is a government in the south, but essentially an ungovernable north. Do you go along with that assessment?
Oh, yes, I go along with that, because from last January last year, the government was failing in the north of Mali. And absolutely from April the 1st, all the major cities in the north of fell in the hands of Al-Qaeda, ACMI, meaning Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, Islamic, and Sardine, and also a separatist group, MNLA, which finally aligned themselves with jihadist groups. So in the north, mainly, there is no government. But in the south, also, we can say that there is a political chaos, because we had the military coup on March 22nd, and everything now is run by an acting interim government and an interim president. So we can say that for the time being, in the south we have a government, but interim one, but in the north is clearly in the hand of the Islamist groups.
Let me ask you a couple of things, Asuman Maiga. First of all, where is your immediate family? How are they doing? How has all of this changed your ability to communicate and even express your citizenship in Mali? And is this the same kind of racial divide that we've seen in Sudan between the north and the south in that country?
I will say that in Mali, especially, this is something we need to make clear. The problem is not between north and south. The problem mainly is Mali has been invaded by Islamic groups, which is an international network. Some of the people who I met, for example, in Timbuktu or in Gao are not from Mali at all. They are from Algeria, they are from Somalia, they are from Nigeria. So they invaded Mali. But because you can see that people who were displaced from the north, they are displaced to the south of Mali, and they are from the north. So actually there is no problem between the people of Mali. So mostly there is a group, as I said, the separatist group, which is the MNLA, Movement, National Movement of the Liberation of Azawad, which is some people who were fighting for Gaddafi. When Gaddafi was over, they came back to Mali and they tried to fight for independence. But without the agreement of the rest of the population, and they just represent a small fraction of the population.
Well, you're referring to the insurgency that Professor Mann described that really dates back more than 20 years and has roots in Algeria. How is your family and how is your life affected by all of this?
Oh, my family, I can tell you that half of my family is still in Timbuktu, and I consider that they are like hostage, because they don't have they are deprived from their rights. They cannot do whatever they want. As you know, women are deprived from their rights. They have to cover their faces, to wear veils. So men cannot gather. Bars are closed. Restaurants are closed in Timbuktu. Public services are closed. So it's like they have to live a new life. About my direct family, my wife and kids are in Bamako. And at some point, I had to leave the country because the country was becoming very dangerous, also because of the political chaos. Some political leaders were arrested. And myself, I have been arrested because of false allegations, because of saying that I was involved in getting, because I was saying that I had some weapons or gun. I was hiring militaries to go and fight the rebels in the north.
Suman, let me ask you a question before we go. You are not Muslim yourself, yes?
I'm a Muslim.
You are a Muslim.
I will tell you that in Mali, we say that we are all moderate Islam because we have about 90% of the population of Mali, which are Muslim. But we have never seen something like this. And we don't understand that these people are coming and say that we are doing jihad. Can you do jihad? Can you come and say you will convert people who are already claiming themselves to be Muslim? This is the biggest question we have there. So Mali is Islam is a place where people practice Islam, but I can say I will use the word very, very moderate Islamic country.
Do you applaud what the French are doing, and are you concerned that their intervention might produce a stalemate and a prolonged wartime situation in Mali?
I think it's necessary to have the French intervention in Mali now because the country was almost about to fail in last week. I was really concerned because I thought that this is now the end of Mali. But we were very lucky the French came in the game. I know that it's going to have very strong unintended consequences.
Well, stay with us, Asuman Maiga is a PhD student at Oklahoma State University, born and raised in Timbuktu, Mali, listens to The Takeaway on KOSU down there in Stillwater. Good luck, and I hope that your family is safe. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Weigh in on this conversation or anything else you hear on the program.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.